Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
This is your prospects crew for the Palazzo Podcast family. My man Robbie Baseball, Benjamin Chase here. Robbie, we're getting really close to opening day.
I mean, technically it's past, but yes. I only have to say technically because in my few leagues where those two games counted, Rostering and Ohtani is fun again, right? Well, I mean, it never wasn't fun. It wasn't fun initially, but... yeah, it's counted. And then for everyone else, the other 28, I am so excited because we're seeing news flying these days about what's going on. And it's exciting, including the only trade we could potentially talk about on this.
I know where you're
that I'm interested in is your Braves and my Jose Suarez coming together. But we can maybe we'll save that for later.
So tonight we are going to finish up our big three, next three series for this year, talking about the San Francisco Giants, the San Diego Padres, and the Washington Nationals. We are going to save the Nationals for last for reasons that will become very obvious as we begin discussing that team. But we're going to start tonight with the Giants. And Robbie, how about you give me who were your top or your big three in 2024 for the San Francisco Giants?
All right. I'm going to make it take to the 2-minute mark for my big three. Da-da-da-da. Dead air. Everybody's happy. No. So last year I had Kyle Harrison, who was fine, not an amazing year, but fine. And then this year, I guess he lost a bunch of weight very early in spring. So he's behind and he's not going to be in the opening day rotation because that's what happens when you have options and your team wants to maximize their opportunity to win. So Harrison's going to go down for a few weeks or until the need is there and he's going to come up. But I liked him as a rookie last year and I think he did fine. Jung Ho Lee, who was like a cheat, you know, rookie, signed a major league deal, but unfortunately got hurt. And the story on him was he had no power. And I think he started, you know, okay, not great. But spring in San Fran is not when you have your best power performances, right? You need those warmer summer days and whatnot. And then, you know, I took a big old goose egg on Marco Luciano playing the bounce back potential. And he still technically is a rookie because he did so poorly that they just did not continue to play him. And I don't know that it's by any stretch over for him, but I mean, I think we talked about it before, Ben, like this is a change of location guy. Maybe it was during one of the dynasty pods I did, which, you know, you guys should definitely go listen to those ones if you're interested. Luciano just might need someone else to really believe in him, but have an idea as to the adjustment required because he's just Kane at a ridiculous rate when he gets promoted.
And this is a guy who I will say I have way too many baseball cards of because I believed in heavily. And so I invested heavily at a young age on Luciano. So I get you. I feel that one. So how about this year, Robbie? Who are your big three this year?
Big three this year. Only a fool would not start the list with Bryce Eldridge. And that's not because he's number one, two, or three. That's because he is the list. That's the guy.
Yep, here we go.
That they've We're got. Done. No. Yeah. He is the next guy. And I remember when he was drafted, Ben, I was saying he's the next Otani because they were saying he's a pitcher and an outfielder at the time. And boy, he very quickly just simplified himself, or not him, the organization simplified him to you are a first baseman. And he just excelled last year enough that he finished 2024 in AAA. Mason, pleasure to have you with us. And if you're listening and you're wondering how you can get with us, join us on YouTube at Palazzo Podcast. That's 2 L's, 2 Z's. And you can always hop in. My phone's buzzing. That must be an internet troll. join us at Palazzo Podcast. Subscribe and we'll get you in. Maybe you could be our Bryce Eldridge, our top prospect, because that's who he is with the Giants. I also have, and I'm looking ahead a tiny bit here, I've got fourth round pick from the 24 draft, Dakota Jordan.
Yep.
Mississippi State outfielder. I think, oh my goodness, Christian Campbell was a year late to the prospect hype path with Boston. I think the potential is there for Jordan. Now, he's not going to have the same he's not going to have the same path to prominence here because everyone's looking for the next one like that, who's a post second round kind of bonus baby to come up. At 21, I think it's safe to say that Jordan's going to be at low A to start the year. If we're lucky, he'll go to high A and then they could push. We could see what he could really do. Again, I don't know that you need to go hard with him, but he is 21. So it's not a bad idea to try to be a bit aggressive if you're San Francisco. And then the last guy is not a disappointment, but I'm not real pumped to tell you that Carson Wisenhunt is my third guy, the 2022 second round pick. He was part of the Will Bednar, Harrison crew of like giant starters that looked like they were going to be really good. But he's kind of moved in different ways. Like I was trying to find a different site that I don't normally go to find like where do they have him ranked. And he was pushing his way out on a bunch of lists outside of the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
24 went on. So he's not a top tier prospect. He's in some situations, not even a second tier guy. He's almost a forgotten man. But again, at 24 years old, you can't really forget about it. It's just, it's control. We're going to talk about this today, man. It's control with Wisenhunt as it is with many other guys. But anyway, Eldridge, Jordan, Wisenhunt.
Wisenhunt is a guy who, unfortunately, not great decisions have followed him for a lot of his career. In college at East Carolina, he got himself suspended, which is why this is a guy who was a legit top 10 prospect coming into like the month before the draft and then got himself in big trouble with East Carolina. So fell to the second round to him that year. And yeah, he's got all the right stuff you'd like to see. I'm not going to assume any or assert any of my own personal feelings watching him. He looks the exact same now as he did the day he was drafted. It does not look like he has really done a darn thing to improve himself as a professional pitcher. And that's not a good sign. That was a thing I heard before the draft, that they were a little worried about his work ethic, that he kind of just... he was who he was and he was perfectly fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little scary. And especially now that you watch him and you're like, oh, well, that looks a lot like the guy that pitched at East Carolina, which that's all well and good if he's facing Coastal Carolina, but it doesn't work so well when he's trying to work his way up to the major leagues. So, you've got Eldridge, you've got Jordan, and you have got Wisenhunt in your big three.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
What do you got?
Mine last year, I was one of those who jumped in on Eldridge early. So I had Harrison and Luciano, which I think a lot of folks, if you would have done this for them last year, Harrison and Luciano would have been in their big three. But Eldridge just struck me as that guy that you were already starting to hear things about just how hard he was impacting the ball on the backfields in spring training last year. And so now you're seeing it in games. I believe last year I saw a number somewhere where he was something like 4 of the top 10 exit velocities were him.
Oh, were his? Okay.
And he's the only one that had more than 2. There was someone else who had 2, and I'm not remembering who it was. But anyway, in all of the minor leagues last year, this guy definitely showed out. So this year, I have decided that I'm still a sucker. And so Eldridge is the obvious guy. I'm going to stick with Luciano just because I can't quit him. I have been a fan since he was in the Arizona Complex League. It's just, there's just so stinking much talent there. It's really, really hard to just let that go and think that that's not going to someday end up with the right organization that turns him into a really good left fielder, you know, or something mm-hmm. to that effect. That could happen with the Giants. That's not saying that couldn't happen there, but it's kind of, it also might be a good thing just to get a different voice in your head than what he's been hearing lately. So, but my third one, probably a little bit controversial, I guess.
Oh,
but well, based on how he ended the season,
Urias?
No, that's a whole different kind of controversy.
He'll be back, baby.
James Tibbs, their first.
Oh, okay. Pick. James Tibbs the third.
Yes, the third.
We got it. We got to include all these guys. Like
this is true.
Juniors is true. And whatever. Yeah.
He had a very impressive start to his professional career, which you could say he might have jumped out about as good as anyone not named Christian Moore into the professional ranks. And then they bumped him up a little bit and he went face first into the ground. It was very obvious that he had a lot of work still to do. That was one of my concerns. Hey, Mike VA, how are you tonight? One of my concerns with Tibbs at the draft was he had some extremely hardcore splits by handedness. And so I was a little worried that that might be a platoon guy going forward. You weren't really sure where he's going to fit defensively. But the big thing, but I thought, you know, gosh, there's just, you watch him and this could be because of, this very well could be because he had Cam Smith in the lineup with him. And those two became kind of a Bash Brothers for Florida State last year, where one would do well, the other one would feed off of that. But Tibbs, as I watched him, I just thought, you know, that if that guy can get with someone who wants to let him move slowly up the minor league system, he's going to really become an excellent player. And then he got drafted by the Giants, and I immediately took him off every one of my FYP
boards. Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think that there is talent here. I think that there's a legit hit talent here. And I think that the Giants could potentially use that handedness well and platoon the heck out of him. But I think he could have been a lot more in other situations.
Okay. So, I was going to say, as you were describing him, it almost sounded like you were talking about the Guardians' new platoon man, Nolan Jones, who was recently traded from Colorado for Tyler Freeman, which immediately shot up Tyler Freeman's interest for everybody, that former prospect, which is for 6 weeks. Basically, he's got an opportunity to get some at-bats. Now, if he's demoted, you know who could end up getting some of that time at second base? Keston Hura, baby. Don't give up, everybody. Speaking on the edge of Nolan for Tibbs, that's kind of where I was originally going before I went off on my own tangent. It's the the risk that can go along. Now, Jones was brought along pretty slowly as well, but he was a third base prospect by the Guardians until they decided.
Significantly better athlete.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
He wasn't a third baseman by any means, but they allowed him to kind of stay there until
tried to max out value.
He showed that he wasn't a third baseman, but you know, he's a legit 2020 sort of guy. I think we'll be happy to see James Tibbs in his entire career steal 20 bases. So, total. But that's a whole other discussion.
Uncle Ted popping in with an off-topic point. I want you to bring that name up again on Wednesday. I am as excited for him as I am for his co-future All-Star teammate, Tim Anderson. But that's a conversation for another day. And if you don't know what I'm saying, that's because you're not in the chat. So anyway, Ben, we're going to keep this dolphin, I don't know, headed wherever dolphins head. And I'll go into my next big three. let me just punch in the old time code because, you know, our boy Govier deserves nothing but the best. And the only thing I can offer that's good is time codes accurately. Last year, my next three was a massive list, which I think must have been because we were at the end of the year, whenever it was, because I have Bryce Eldridge, Rainer Arias, Jack Chiote, Wade Meckler, Keaton Wynn, Tyler Fitzgerald, Hayden Bernsong, and Carson Wisenhut. They were all there, and I've got notes on every single guy, which is crazy. And Wynn got hurt right away. Meckler had time in 23, did not get an MLB at bat in 24, and has really fallen back on people. Chiote has been slow rolled as the 22-year-old lefty. I believe he's six. He's a big guy, I think, 6'6", 6'8", something like that. Fitzgerald, we did see come up and succeed, so I'm taking a win on him. Eldridge, of course, has done what he's done, and that's great. Hayden Bernsong, same deal. Serious K's last year, and then Wisenhut
be in the bullpen. What the heck?
We'll find out. I mean, there's going to be weird move. If Matt Libitor is starting for the Cardinals, allegedly, then there's room for anyone to eventually. I'm trying to take the approach of who's going to get 20 plus starts, because people are going to start the year as, you know, in the bullpen or in the rotation. Who's realistically going to do it? I think Birdsong is a 20 plus start candidate versus a bullpen guy. Anyway, for this year, I took a different approach. I went with a lot of youth as the next guys, and I'm starting that off with Johnny Level, which I know is not at all how you pronounce either one. Johnny Lavalle, who knows? 17-year-old DSL guy, Venezuelan, not a catcher, Britain, not a catcher. He is a shortstop, probably will convert later on based on where he's grown up. But switch hitter and good from both sides, which is really good. Less than a 20% strikeout rate. I think it was under 17, 18, something like that. And the DSL also hit 10 ding-a-dongs. And he's a baseball IQ, smart baseball player guy. So we'll see what he does. If he is a jump candidate from the DSL straight up to A, which, you know, we talked about that with Milwaukee, how they did that. Yep. The other guy who I think from the DSL is also a candidate to that is Oliver Tejada. He's 5'11". I would like him to be about 7-8 inches taller, ideally, but that's okay. He was really good, legit in the DSL. 5 homers, 300 average, 405 OBP, 893 OPS, 9 stolen bases. And I talked about it on a previous podcast, and somebody thought it was hilarious that used to listen to me on Dingers. How they said, now you're talking about defense to justify prospects' potential. So he only had one error in whatever it was, 300 and something, no, it wouldn't have been innings, whatever it was, opportunity, something like that, a 986 fielding percentage. And I'm hoping that he can also jump to a ball this year and not be hanging out in the complex league, because they seem like their bats are at the point at which you can test them. So, and then the last guy up is Walker Martin. The strikeouts were absolutely terrifying, 41%, and he was in the low minor. So he was not pushed, but he did struggle. So we'll see what's going to happen, because he is, as Ben has said, a tool shed of potential. It's just a matter of what can he really do for us. But I think a lot of people who thought he was going to be a top riser like Walker Jenkins popped up a bunch of lists with Minnesota. Walker Martin was allegedly a sleeper candidate to do that, and that did not happen last year. So I still think there's potential with him. Of course, 1 year as a pro, there's a million things that changed in his life. We'll see how it goes this year. But Tejada, Level, and Martin are my next three. Okay. Ben, what say you?
Well, I had last year, I had Martin, I had Wisenhunt, and I had Averson Arteaga, and we could just forget that I mentioned that name.
Yeah, no problem. I couldn't pronounce it. So
that was not a pleasant year. I really thought he had something, but I was wrong.
It happens.
Guys I have this year, I think you've mentioned two of them already. Rainer Arias, who is a IFA guy, just kind of having a steady development, not a jump forward sort of guy yet. I have Dakota Jordan on there. My concern is quite a bit about the swing and miss, but I 100% am on board with you in that he is the type of guy, he's had success at a big competition college, you know, with Campbell, it was at Georgia Tech in the ACC. With Jordan, it was Mississippi State in the SEC. So there's obviously talent there. And he is an extremely good athlete. It's just going to be a matter of, can he do that long-term? And there are adjustments he is going to have to make in order to make that work. The last one is a guy that I was really, really sad to see in the transaction wire. It is Jacob Bresnahan, 6'4 lefty that they acquired from the Guardians in the Alex Cobb deal. And I really, really liked him. I really wanted him to, he was a Washington high school kid. I really wanted him to develop in that Cleveland system because I thought he was kind of a perfect pitcher for that system. 6'4", 200, you know, just a lot of things to like. Still had a pretty solid year, even though once he got to the Cal League, it was not pretty. A 10.98 ERA, not pretty.
I remember we talked about him last year, post-trade.
Season numbers, he had a 5.04 ERA, even with that 10.98, so that kind of tells you where he was at, 69 and two-thirds innings, 87 strikeouts. The stuff is really, really, really good. I don't know if I trust the Giants to develop it, and especially don't trust them as well as I would have trusted Cleveland to develop it, but he's kind of along the lines of that, you know, and we're going to talk about another guy here later, that guy that Cleveland seems to be drafting lately in the middle of day two and into day three out of high school that they're going to develop for a year or two and then flip because everyone's going to go, oh, if Cleveland likes this high school pitcher, then he must have something. And they
I'm still waiting on Jacob Zibin or Zibin. Yeah. I've been waiting. I'm waiting on that one.
I would love to see Bresnahan come out and just be a stud next year because he's got the stuff to do it. But like I said, unfortunately, I'm a little worried that he's in the wrong organization for it. But if anyone can, he's got the stuff to do it. So So that's the end of my next three. Who are some guys you have that are kind of not on the list here, Robbie?
Yeah, so I didn't put Rainer Arias back because he didn't replicate what he did. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see that you did because I think he's still doing fine. He just didn't maintain the level. But if he had, to be perfectly honest, he would be rostered everywhere. And I don't need that in my dynasty leagues for every DSL guy to, or J15, whatever you want to title them at or title them as, to be heavily rostered because they should be taken slowly in the developmental stage. And my comment that I'll repeat now from Arias last year was, thank Luciano for any slow roll on hype he gets, but he murdered the DSL last year, 414, 539, 793, more walks and Ks. Now, last year, he did not replicate that by any stretch when he went to rookie ball, but he did go to rookie ball, not complex.
Yeah.
And he held his own. I think it's safe to say he held his own.
Yeah.
In 105 plate appearances. I won't go with the at-bats because it's 88 at-bats, whatever. 250, 371, and then a 735 OPS. And strikeout rate went up. The walk rate was down a little bit. The power was gone. But adjusting to competition, where you're living, every single thing in life adjusted for him. And I know I've used that before last year with Brian Betancourt with Colorado. I said, oh, we need to see more. But it is a safe thing to say. Not everybody's going to be, you know, a rock star right away. And at age 17, 18, living by yourself, all those things happen. Or maybe not by yourself, but maybe not living with a parent or something like that. There's things that happen. So I still like him. So I was glad that you mentioned him. Yeah. Chote is another one that I do still think is interesting, sleeper type value. Mm-hmm. I do need to pull up exactly how tall. 6'6", 249. Okay. I'm just looking at the old baseball ref here because I couldn't remember. So he was a ninth rounder in 22. And last year, I'm trying to remember if it was that his K to 9 was what I really liked about him. Last year, he was 10.3 Ks. K's last year, which is great. 128 and 111 and 2/3 between high A, finished the year with 8 starts at double A. And of course, when he got to double A, things kind of ticked up a little bit in the wrong way, but that's okay. He can come right back this year with a strong continuation of, you know, how he'd started the year and keep rolling through. But the Giants are really weird to me, Ben, about where, like, they had a lot of guys graduate their rookie list last year. So where is their depth going to come from this year? Because they last year had Harrison, Lee, Birdsong, Wynn, which we'd all kind of mentioned. And then Landon Rope is looking like he's their SP4-5 at the moment.
Yeah.
So he'll be up. But that does thin things out a little bit. And if you're going to bring Luciano up as your next guy, I'm just trying to see, like, some of the time, you know, you got the AAA type guys, like, will we see, what's his nuts that I just said was in my next three before? Will we see Wade Mechler return? Yeah. Will we see Fitzgerald getting every day at bats? I believe so. I think that's the plan. But, you know, when an injury comes, I just don't see depth at the moment here. And they used to have, it was one of those things where, like, next man up in San Francisco could be two or three guys, multi-position thing. It seems like it's thinned out a little bit, and it has gotten to the point where the minor leagues for them are where the strength is coming from, and they're really close to graduating most of their close to, or I don't want to say a veteran prospect, but like a guy that's been around for a bit. So I didn't have many other names for them to pop in. So what ones did you have?
Oh, poor Joe, our resident Giants fan checking in, asking if we can do a dispersal draft and start all over for the Giants arm system. Yeah, the only issue there, Joe, is you kind of need to do a dispersal draft on development as well to maybe hire some folks who can develop that talent once it gets in there. So the guy, this really tells you where the system is. The guy I was most excited to talk about that I didn't have on one of my lists is Bo Davidson, an undrafted free agent from 2023 who doesn't do anything exceptionally well, but is just kind of solid across the board, showed well in the AFL, just kind of one of those who's, he's a professional ball player and can do professional ball player things, and someday is going to be a fifth.
Can he advance the runner from second to third or put somebody in scoring position? Oh my gosh, I love him.
Yeah. So that's the guy who I'm seriously most excited about on this. Of course, you and I haven't mentioned their big IFA splash this year, Josuar Gonzalez.
Right.
But he's an IFA guy who just signed and, you know, the ceiling and the floor are so far away. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy I don't like to jump on those type of guys before they've ever seen a professional pitch. That just, it's not a good idea usually. Jonah Cox. Yes, you can use all the fun things about his last name. 23 sixth round pick out of Oral Roberts. He is an absolute burner, but has swing and miss. So it's kind of a, what are you going to do with that? Like, a guy that can run but he also strikes out quite a bit. So I'm not sure how that fits down the road. And not much at all for power. Sabin Ceballos is a guy that they acquired from the Braves in, I think, the Jorge Soler trade last year. And then Braves turned around and got rid of Soler. But good gap hitter. He moved up to Eugene and really showed well there. Needs a lot of work at third base if he's going to stick at third base defensively. But could be one of those guys that ends up as a, like a Lamont Wade type. You know, that comes up and he's nothing that blows you away, but he's consistent. He does his job well and sticks with the team for quite a while.
Well, that's like Estrada, Thero Estrada, who they had for 4 years as well, or four and change. So, and that's kind of what I was saying earlier. It was like they don't have those guys. It seems like they don't have those cusp guys who could kind of settle in. Fitzgerald did last year. So,
oh, poor Joe. We've already spent 20 minutes too long on
this. I've only been here for five. I've got one when you're done. Please continue. But I have one other guy I wanted to bring up. This might make Joe happy. We'll see.
Reggie Crawford is one that I want to just mention because the talent is ridiculous. Obviously, can't find the strike zone and nor stay on the field so far. Mm-hmm. But touches 100, has a ridiculous curve from the left side. And my last but not least is Josh Bostic, 23, eighth round pick. Upper 90s fastball. Has four other
what
pitches.
What was it? A fastball?
Yeah, okay.
I like the pronunciation.
Fastball.
Yeah,
we're playing in Italiano, okay? he has four other offerings, but they're all kind of average-ish pitches, so there's nothing that really sticks out to go along with that really good fastball. So I don't know. He very well might be a bullpen destined guy, but someone to keep an eye on just because he does have a feel enough to throw four other pitches, so there's a chance he could do something with that.
All right.
Who's your guy, Robbie?
We have, well, I'll do my guy in a moment. Chad has popped in and said, did we talk about the other Carson in San Fran yet? Now, is that Seymour? Is that who we're going for? Carson Seymour?
Is that?
Because when I quickly looked, I was like, he's triple A lefty pitcher, came from the Mets. Is that the guy? But the one that I wanted to get some hope for is the potential future second baseman who I think could easily move is Xander Darby. He was a 12th rounder last year from University of California, Santa Barbara. So, you know, I'm just going to say a beach bum because I have no idea what they would do out there. Why am I talking about a 12th round pick? This seems kind of silly. Well, we're in the extras, but we're also in San Francisco. So we're looking for something of a dart throw. And although if you look at his college numbers, including summer ball, he was solid for power in a very short amount of pro at bats in A ball, which is interesting enough that you would draft and then send a guy to an A ball level to finish out the year. He hit four in 47 at bats. Didn't bat, like the batting average was .234, which is his lowest finish since his age 19 year in college as a freshman. But OBP is fine, and maybe there's something to be said for what he could do here. So that might be a bit of a dart throw. And then, Ben, you had the final one that I saw up there?
Yeah, Joe mentioned Maui Ahuna from Hawaii. Okay. Originally, and went to the University of Tennessee. He was really a fun guy to watch in college. One of those guys, Tennessee just has had some guys like that, the Drew Gilbert types that are just all hustle and all energy. And he was that kind of a guy in college. And let's just say that that was the kind of the end of that fun for him. Shortstop did not go so well this year defensively. 6 errors in 10 games. That's not great.
Well, you know, if we're bringing up defense, it's either to really sell you on the guy or to let you know that there's a lot going the wrong way for him. So let's make that our wrap up on the Giants.
Amen.
And I'll be honest, we're not moving to an organization that I'm really excited about here. No. But let's start talking about the Friars, and I'll kick it off with my big three from last year, who I had. Let's see here. Make sure I say it right. Robbie Snelling, starting pitcher in Double A last year. Jackson Merrill, who I don't remember what he did at all. Oh, right. And then I got to say, I'm not happy that I said this, but I also have my comment to follow it up. Ethan Salas, the catcher, was my other guy. And this is my note, Ben, unedited from last year. Quote, hear me now or regret it later. If you roster Salas, trade him by this June. He is at his dynasty peak. I was correct.
Yeah.
He is not desired to the amount he was. That does not mean he can't recoup the value. Does not mean he can't still become a good major league catcher and all these things. But he is not exhibiting the superstar status that was given to him prior to all this crazy hype and the quick promotions. Mm-hmm. You know, Jackson Merrill, they were aggressive with last year. It worked out really well. Snelling, sure. I had noted he would be in the Padres rotation no later than game 5 of 2026 if he keeps up the progression. Pitch to less contact without losing the K-9. So he had some work to do. This year, it's not as fun. I don't know how you feel about it, Ben. There were options last year, the high-end type options. This year, I'm starting off, and I did this with, I think, Kansas City last year, a Rule 5 pick, you know, Juan Nunez. He is a Rule 5 pick. He could be a gem. Ideally, San Diego keeps him, and in 2026, he could become a back end of the bullpen guy, or they put him back down to the minors to build up innings as a starter. We've seen this play out before. Nunez, that was picked by Washington, I think was sent back down this week. He was a Rule 5 guy last year, sat on the bench. But Juan Nunez is starting the year hurt. He is throwing now, and I think he's at the point where he's in flat throwing off flat ground. So, again, you'll understand why he is on my list when we get through all of this. I also then could not ignore Cash Mayfield, a 100% project starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. This is my demo, Ben. You know that. 2024 first rounder, tall boy, throws 97-ish, but every report, including just watching some video, he is a project. Like the rest of San Diego's prospects, they are in project mode. The other guy is Boston Bateman, who was the second round pick last year. And I read that his nickname is Sasquatch. Hey, that's fun. He throws 97 and he's got a big curve. And apparently the odds are in his favor to move quicker than Mayfield, but they could choose to keep them together if they like the idea of what the Blue Jays did once upon a time, where they had Thor and Justin Nicolino sharing. One would start and pitch four innings. The other guy would come in and pitch four innings. And that way, I guess they could bring development guys in. Like once upon a time, they had Pat Hankin, former Cy Young winner, in the organization. So he would travel around to where the prospect pitchers were pitching, and they would do things like that and double it up. So maybe Mayfield and Bateman will, both from the left side, of course, be able to rock and roll together for a year or two. But it looks like Bateman might have the more mature approach. But Nunez, Mayfield, Bateman. I got to say, it's very different from last year, looking at Jackson Merrill and thinking about all the good things that could come with him.
So mine last year, I had Merrill, I had Snelling, and I also still had Dylan Lesko on there. I went through, I looked at this out of the six, you know, for our big three, next three. Out of my six, four did not finish the season in the Padres system. And it was not because of graduations. One of them graduated, but four out of the six were in somebody else's system by the end of the year. That says a whole lot about this organization. So it's just a matter of where do these guys go this year, I guess. My big three this year, I have Ethan Salas on there this year. Think that, honestly, he made some really nice advancements defensively. But folks, this is what he was going to be. He's going to be a guy that they focus on the glove side, because the glove is quite good behind the plate. And the bat will come when the bat comes. And a lot of folks, and you know, everyone's always enjoying comparing someone to a Hall of Famer. A lot of folks made a Yadi Molina comparison with Ethan Salas. Remember that Yadi was in about his fifth or sixth year before he was viable offensively. He was terrible offensively for 4 or 5 years as a major leaguer before that took off a little bit. And even then, he was never really great. He had a few 300 seasons, but he wasn't like someone you hurried out to roster in fantasy. Mm-hmm. So I have him. I have Lealdis DeVries, and I liked everything he did this last year. I'm a little worried about how much he was pushed. I hope that they start him back down at an A-ball level and let him work his way up. But the talent is really impressive to watch. And then I went with a guy that I was really impressed with what he did at his age, and that was Victor Lazarraga.
Okay.
Born in California, signed out of Mexico, worked his way up the system. He was 20 last year. And let's see here. I was just going to look. 20 all of last year, turned 21 in November. So
double A all year.
Of last year in double, and 403 ERA, struck out 102 mm-hmm. in 96 innings, 126 whip. That's a very solid performance for a guy who's only 20.
Absolutely. In the upper
minors. And I mean, I look up stuff on him. Nobody seems to like his stuff as far as a future, even a mid-rotation guy. Everyone says his best chances is a back-end starter. I like a guy who can show me something like that at a young age, at a high level. They might have more than just the raw data or the raw pitches. You know, they might have a little something on the mound moxie-wise that is allowing them to do that. And so I really enjoyed watching him, a couple of videos that I picked up, and so he ended up moving all the way up into my big three because of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fun pick because, as you said, nobody likes him. So when he all of a sudden is like on the cusp of like the next man up or whatever, people will be like, well, what's his deal? And then when they go to look, they'll be like, oh, I guess from 23 to 24, he had a big K to nine jump. But not only did he do that between being a 19 and a 20 year old, he also jumped up a level, and every year he has been promoted by San Diego, almost as if they're like, well, we need someone at A ball, let's throw him in there. And then we need someone at high A, let's throw him in. We need someone at double A. And then he just holds his own, which would be great. Like, his whip has been okay. You know, 1.25 is kind of where I like to be in, you know, worry territory if we get any higher. And he's held it to under 1.3 since his age 17 year in rookie ball. And again, never played with kids or people, sorry, never played with people his age. He has averaged almost 4 years younger, when I'm very quickly looking, since he's come into pro ball in 2021. So he's an interesting one, and potentially somebody who could find himself in the big leagues and not liked by anyone. So
that's fun. You know, could very well end up being a guy that anchors a trade somewhere after he opens up the season really well, and
absolutely, and
the Padres need this, that, or the other thing for their major league roster. So that's my big three. Robbie, tell me, who do you got for your next big three?
Well, we need to do break.
I was just gonna say we should
to monetize this thing. Do you have one handy?
I did not queue one up. Do you have one you would prefer to watch?
No, because the last time I did this, I picked one I hadn't seen before, and I was shocked. Shannon Doherty was in it.
Well, let's see. How about
this is Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks, and you're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Polanco Podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Nailed it.
That was fun.
And we'll, before we pop back in, Dietz did put this up a few minutes ago. Now, Dietz, you just threw the question out there without understanding what we're doing here tonight. We are your prospects power hour, but you're talking about who should you draft between a few what we'll call veteran baseball players. So we also understand this and we'll answer your question, but this is the prospect show. So for anybody else thinking about it, we are just as interested in Joe's comment on UC Santa Barbara. Sex on the Beach was named after that place. And he says you can fact check him. I know it says on the screen don't, but you can. Absolutely. So anyway, Dietz wants to know, Ben, which two should he draft between Freeman, Jazz, Crochet, Gilbert, Sale, and Burns? It's head-to-head. There's only three keepers on a team. He's got some other construction things that are too detailed for us to worry about tonight. But he's got six picks, so he thinks these guys are all going to be hanging out. I mean, Jazz is the hot guy for the year. Crochet couldn't be scarier if he was on a cliff right now, because we don't know what realistically we can get out of him. But who are you liking?
I mean, to me, Gilbert sticks out of that group. As far
is he the safe one?
To me, he's the safe of the arms, of the arms that are there. Gosh, I want to say Freeman, but I also look at his build so far that he's talking about. His current team has Vlad, who is first and third eligible. Tucker, Churio. You have some good base. I mean, Freeman to me is a great guy to have for base of stats, because he's gonna, you know what he's gonna give you. He's not gonna give you a 240 season or something like that. That's just not what he's gonna do. I'd probably take the jump on Jazz, because he's going to have second base, third base, and outfield eligibility. So
yeah,
there's some flexibility you can play with there. And certainly you would think a full season in New York should be pretty good for his other numbers.
Yeah, and I will say, Dietz, it's up to you how you want to play the season. If you want to be safe, then I think you're going to want to take Gilbert and a Freeman. That's kind of mentally you think, okay, like those are the high floors. But I mean, Sale came out last year and was amazing. Burns is on a team that should be highly competitive, but they're in a very difficult division. Sale, again, like I'm circling back, like I think the fun pick or the fun combo is Jazz Crochet. But when you combine that with Churio and Wood, you have a lot of risk and potential setback. And the Jays keep on throwing out that they're going to, you know, get Vlad done and sign the deal and do all these things. I can also see the scenario in which they're like, well, maybe it truly isn't going to come together and looks like we don't have the depth that we already knew we didn't have. So maybe we should do something smart and trade Vlad. And maybe it will be a bad year for your Vladdy guy. So you do have some risk here, because the lineup around, not Vlad himself, but the lineup around him could underperform. If you want to be positive, then just assume Jazz is going to be great wire to wire and Crochet is going to have 25 plus starts. But you know, like Ben said, if you want to be safe, Gilbert, I think is great. I don't think you're going to regret that one outside of injury, which we can't deal with. But anyway, we'll get back to the topic at hand now, because we're professionals who don't get paid. So, my next three for San Diego, last year, I had Jacob Marse. He's such a good 23. Graham Pauly, who was in contention to be on the major league roster. 300.
He was.
Yeah. Moving with Dallas. Future core. That's my comments were so brief. 300 hitter, moving up with Salas, future core. Okay. And then JD Gonzalez, catcher, lefty catcher, high exit velo. And I said, what do you want from me? I'm like Wander. I like him young and I know it's wrong. Good time. So anyway, this year, what have I done, Ben? What have I done? I've put Ethan Salas here. I've put him here in the next year. I've put him back down. I've also put Leota DeVries back here. And I've got Isaiah Lowe, right-handed pitcher, 20 starts last year
for
Lowe. 111 Ks, 46 walks. We understand when they're young and they walk, that can, you know, RP risk, da, da, da. But I like the Padres to get him and the other straight to make for a cheap rotation come 28, or they'll trade them all for the next Dylan Cease. Yeah. So, and then comments on Salas. I don't like him, but dynasty people are slow to walk away. I'd watch for him to show a more contact-based approach, which is kind of leading to your Molina comp that you discussed a few minutes ago. It makes sense. You don't give up on the guy. Nobody that has him in dynasty is going to give him away, but you need to see something change with him, or we're just going to see a repeat of barely scratching 200 and, you know, strikeouts too high and the OBP like has to do. We just need to see something. So, and then for DeVries, too early chill daddy. There you go. An A-ball, but we better not see him before 2027. Okay, we don't need the Padres to be the ones to try to push up all their prospects and turn everybody into a superstar. But it's fun that they're moving guys. So mm-hmm. I give them credit for that. So, Ben, who do you have? Who's next?
So my next last year, I had Salas in there. And then I had Drew Thorpe, which tells you when
when
we recorded that, because it was before he got traded. Because he was traded before the season even started.
Yeah.
Drew Thorpe and Adam Mazur. Who ended up traded. Yeah, like I said, four of my six last year ended up traded. So two out of each. So this year I went with a guy you mentioned already once, Cash Mayfield. Then I have Humberto Cruz, who's another Mexican signee that they have.
They got arms. They're just in development.
Didn't pitch much at all last year. Sounds like there was some injury stuff going on, but 97 mile an hour fastball, a couple breaking pitches that are really interesting, along with a changeup that folks say could be a plus change, and he controls the crap out of stuff. That could be a guy that jumps really fast from A ball to high A pretty quick, because he is only 18. This year.
Yeah, he'll be playing this year at 18.
Yeah, so he's going to be young wherever he's at, even, you know, A or and they might just keep him back for a month and then send him to A ball, but they signed him and immediately sent him to Arizona rather than the DSL. So that says a little something at least.
Yep. He was playing with men, right? Maybe that's the big difference. In the Mexican League, he was playing with men and or at least like practicing. I don't know how many innings he actually pitched in the Mexican League, but he was with an organization in Mexico.
So then my last one is really kind of fun, and that is Sean Barnett.
Oh, okay.
And Barnett was 11th round pick from Wingate, which is a Division II school, and he was a two-way guy that the Padres are still working as a two-way guy, which is interesting. I think he's a power above anything offensively. He's probably best as a relief prospect.
And distracting Ben with a comment from Joe.
But Barnett is a guy who I think if they decide to go full pitcher on him, this is a guy who could be a upper level reliever really fast. If they take some time to help him develop a fourth pitch, he could be a potential mid rotation type of starter. He's kind of filled out as in the body, 6'2", 200, and it's not like there's a whole lot of space to add to that. But just the fact that he's a two-way guy right now. It's kind of like, hey, this could be fun to at least watch and see what happens. And you need those on this team. The guys that are going to be fun to watch and see what happens, because a lot of the guys that they have, and we'll get into this, are very likely going to not be with the Padres. Do we want to just go straight into the guys who aren't on the list here?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got, you had mentioned one, so I've got two to talk about when the time comes, but go ahead. Okay.
So I have a bunch of 24 draft picks, and you mentioned already. Oh,
damn it. Are you going to say Cale Fountain?
Yeah. Okay. And a big reason why, he's from Nebraska High School, but you know where he was born?
Oh, no. Where?
He was born in South Dakota.
He's a Dakota boy.
In South Dakota.
Not from Michigan. Are we going to get back into anybody from Michigan?
No. But last year, Adam Mazur was mostly in my next three just because he went to South Dakota State. So, you know, we got to always toss that type of stuff in there. And yeah. But Fountain has got legit monster power. Cobb Hightower, which that's a great name, by the way. Cobb Hightower.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I mean, that guy should make it to the majors based on his name alone. But, and then Kai Roberts is the other one I got. And he's a college pick that they had. Those are three of their 2024 picks that all could be very interesting a year from now, or they could be on somebody else's roster or somebody else's minor league system a year from now. There's probably a better chance of the latter. Tirso Ornelas was a 2016 international free agent signing out of Mexico. Isn't that nuts? But he's still not that old. But he's definitely a post-type sleeper. He finally had a breakthrough solid year in AAA. He's kind of bumped up against that and had things to like, but not a full-on season. I'm not going to make any guarantees, but this is the guy that I think is going to be playing the most major league time for the Padres out of anyone we talk about here, especially this year.
I agree.
Then I have Romeo Sanabria, 2022 18th round out of JUCO, and just pounds the crap out of the gaps. Had a solid AFL year, but he is absolutely terrible at first base defensively. So I don't know where you can go from there. So you're likely going to be looking at a guy that doesn't give you good over the fence power. That's a DH only. Doesn't really work so well in the professional ballgame. Braden Carpathios is another one, 2022 undrafted free agent. Gap power, a lot of whiff. I want to say something like a 35% strikeout rate last year. So for a guy that isn't giving you 30 home runs, that's just too much. But you're going through this system, that's the guys. Pitcher-wise, they actually have some pitching, and that is one thing they do well. You mentioned Lowe. I really enjoyed looking up stuff on him. That was fun. I think he could be a guy that his first full professional season, he tossed 105 innings. That's a guy to pay attention to.
Beats Lorenzo or whatever the guy's name was.
Yeah.
He's consistently been in the 90s, so they kind of let Lowe go, so to speak.
There you go. Braden Nett was another undrafted free agent, 2022. He got up to AA last year. He's kind of got 50 to 55 stuff across the board with like 45 control. And if he can step that control up to even like average-ish, that's a potential fun like back-end type of starter profile. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, another one who's likely going to spend some time in the big leagues this year, Omar Cruz. I got him as a trade from the Pirates, left-handed pitcher. He's like 5'10", but pitches up over the top. And so it's a really weird angle to come from that short, but also be up top, because normally the guys that like to come up top are 6'8", and so you're looking from the ball to drop down from the sun. And instead, it's like it's dropping from the bill of the second baseman's hat. So it's a little different angle to kind of pick up the ball coming up the top like that. But really, really good changeup. I think he could be a good long relief guy as a lefty, and probably this year in that role. If they want to make him a starter, it's probably another year of development to get that. But
you know, there's a guy in Houston that reminds me of that I liked for a couple of years, and his name's escaping me right now. But similar profile to like, I could see some things going right. But with Houston, he's just remained. I think he's kind of peaked out AA, might get promoted, but almost not necessarily because of performance to be promoted, just like your AAA or bust. We'll see here. So, but yeah, I did have, and we discussed Humberto Cruz, Cale Fountain, who I think is very entertaining. Another one from last year's draft, Tyson Nabors. Mm-hmm. Fourth round pick. He is a reliever, allegedly, but let's just see, you know, let's just see what happens if he is an elite type reliever or if he is a ho-hum organizational piece. You did mention Kai Roberts, Lamar King, which I believe is a junior on that, mentioning him because he's Canadian, fourth round pick in 2022. The one thing this catcher first baseman is lacking is the one thing you absolutely need out of a first baseman, and that is over the fence power, especially if he's going to be a catcher type guy. He only had two last year, but his line was 271, 379, and an 800 OPS. So he is knocking the ball around, including six triples, which obviously tells you he's got speed. However, not a stolen base to speak of. Mm-hmm. So interesting case, might need some legitimate scouting on him. But fielding-wise, he seemed to be able to hold his own since we're talking about fielding now. And then the last one I had is Clark Candiotti. I don't know if that is a relation or not. Sometimes it says it in places. I don't see it here. But anyway, he was also a fourth-round pick in 2024. Has not debuted yet. And when he was at Arizona in college ball, 93 and two-thirds innings pitched, 103 strikeouts. But I kind of looked and was like, holy 95 and two-thirds innings pitched. Okay. So he might just be a guy who, if he's able to pitch successfully, he's already older than everyone else in their system. He might move quickly, but I don't know what's reasonable to expect. So,
I went on to the University of Arizona's website. Because they always have that kind of fun stuff. He is the son of Tom.
Oh, he is. Oh, okay.
Candiotti. So,
yeah. The knuckleballer.
Yeah. And Joe did mention, and this is a guy that I kind of just skipped over mostly because I don't think there was, I don't remember if there was any pro time yet, but Kaveris Tears is a guy who was on Tennessee's national championship team last year, and lots and lots and lots of raw athletic talent. But he's got to figure out how to be a baseball player with all that raw talent. And like Joe said, if he can hit spin, he might be something. Yeah, this is a guy who's like a plus power, plus run sort of guy with a plus arm. But he's the grade that BA gave him is a 40 on his hit in the draft. And usually those draft grades are just a little bit pumping you up. So if you're getting a 40 on your hit tool in the draft, that might say a little bad thing about you. But you know who he reminds me a ton of is and I'm gonna butcher his name, Rosario with the Twins. Kalai Rosario with the Twins.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, K-A-apostrophe-A-I.
Yeah. Big power type of guy. And raw tools all over the place, but just has a bunch of strikeout issues and has been struggling to make contact over his minor league career. But man, when he gets a hold of one, it's really fun to watch. So I think that's about enough of the Padres. Now we actually have a fun system to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one to end, not just the night on, but also the year.
Yeah.
Is the Nationals of Washington.
Absolutely. And
last year on the Nationals of Washington, I had Dylan Cruz, I had Brady House, and I had James Wood, which almost seems boring to say Cruz, House, and Woods, because what I'm repeating this year is Cruz and Brady House. I just think I think there's enough there with House. I think it's going to come together. They're not locked in at third base. Maybe he's not going to be able to sustain a good enough contact rate. He's going to have a high strikeout rate. The OBP might not be there, but that's the things that could happen on a negative sense. On a positive sense, he's a serious talent who went from being hyped to forgotten and back. So I'm happy with House. Now, Cruz, we all know, is a safe floor.
Yep.
He's going to just be a good major leaguer. We don't know what the ceiling is, but we are, you know, realistically all comfortable with the idea that he could be a very good player for a long time. And then Seaver King, last year's first round pick, I think it was ninth overall, something like that. He was a top first half of the draft. He went to Wake Forest. really good bat to ball skills, blah, blah, blah. Like he had a, some, I can't remember what the hitting streak was, but he had a big old hitting streak last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I think with Seaver King, it's just a matter of how aggressive are they going to be with him? Washington tends not to be super aggressive with these guys. And they are at the moment clearing out a lot of the AAA non-graduated prospects from their system. Mm-hmm. So there could be some turnover where we could see Seaver King rising quickly this year. I just don't know that they need to, but regardless, he's an excellent talent. I like this big three. My favorite, most consistent, high-end type big three of the night by far, Cruz, King, and House. Ben, what do you got?
Last year, you and I had the same exact big three.
Okay.
This year, I have Cruz in, but then I decided to go after some high-octane arms.
Oh, and I got I that have, in the next, baby. Yeah,
I've got Travis Sakura, and I have Harlene Suzada, and... Boy, I'm not sure which one you're going to see first, but you're going to see lots of triple digits, whichever one shows up first, because they both can pump up the velocity gauge. It's just going to be a matter of when the Nationals really need them, because, you know, that's one thing we talked a lot about when we got into Jesus Take the Wheel picks last year. There were a whole lot of Nationals that came up, and probably your best one was Mitchell Parker.
Right.
On the year, you know, as far as making that.
And that was that an choice. Early pick.
That was a very early one, yeah.
Yeah. And,
but, I mean, the Nationals have a lot of rotation depth. They went out and they signed more. They got Soroka to come in, Mike Soroka to pitch this year. I'm blanking on the name of the Japanese guy that they signed, but they signed some guys.
He was sent down regardless.
Yeah, he was sent down.
Something, I can't remember.
Yeah. And DJ Hers was also sent down. So, I mean, they have enough depth where they can do things like that right now. Let's see what the Nationals are doing midseason. Let's see what a guy like Soroka keeps doing. There's some potential openings here. But the other end of things, this could be very possibly the most fun AAA rotation to watch. Because we're going to talk about some more guys that they have that are extremely good that'll be at that AAA rotation. This is a really deep system as far as pitching is going right now.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And you mentioned some of the names that did not make their roster to start the year that are quality arms. So, like my next three from last year, I had DJ Hers. So happy with that one right off the bat. I had Harlan Susanna. Yeah, that's fine. And I had Sakura. This year, I've added former Guardian Alex Clemmie because I had to because I love him. I've added Sakura back and I've added Susanna back. And I put them all together because I really haven't got to talk enough about arms. I know with San Diego, I gave their big three arms, but two of them are legit prospect projects, and one of them is a Rule 5 prospect project who's going to be up. So these are legitimate prospects, and as you said, Ben, high octane for Sakura and Susanna, and Clemmie too. Clemmie is elite fastball, plus curve, got a changeup and a slider that are the combined secondaries for him.
Yeah,
those are the trouble pitches. But he is also a high school drafted guy.
Those are even, I mean, they at least flash above average. That's just the thing is the big projection, thing for him right now is he's got to figure out, he's like all arms and legs. He's what, 6'5", 6'4", something like that. But he is a very long arms and legs.
I think he's even taller than that.
Could be. Very well. I mean,
I feel like he's a
6'8". The Nationals acquired a basketball team at the deadline last year because I started going through and there's like
6'6".
6'6", 6'7", 6'9", and you're like, Jesus, all right, well, okay, apparently the Nationals have a type. But the thing with Clemmie is just he needs to be able to have his delivery be consistent pitch to pitch. Yes. And once he does that, the raw stuff is so stinking good that you know he's just going to explode onto the scene. And especially coming from the left side with that, you know, I've told folks, I think you know, health obviously is a whole different thing with pitchers, but assuming health, his like bad outcome is an Andrew Miller reliever type.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what you're seeing with him, is there's just so much talent with the arm. If he can't make it as a starter, that's his potential role as a reliever. And it's like, geez, that's, yeah, he's a fun one. Absolutely a fun one. So,
yeah. And I feel like of my next three, which of course you've got two of them in as your big three, like Secor is the guy who I, during the drafting period for him, he was a third rounder in 22. Mm-hmm. I was least interested in, because I thought this is going to be hard to come together. And then he went out last year and started 20 games as a 20-year-old, and in 85 innings had 129 Ks, which is a 13.6 K to 9. Holy sugar snap. And he did not have a ridiculous walk rate. In 85 innings, he walked 27 guys. Man, oh man. Like, he's good, and I don't have a single dynasty share of him, and it sucks, because now, although he's not like, well, he's probably on list, but although he's not necessarily like inching up the list, because pitchers are always suppressed on prospect lists, he is not going to be available via trade without giving up a very similar type of player in return. And it's going to be hard to trade him for, say, a third baseman of some sort, because the comparables right now would be like, trade me your Kobe Mayo if you don't think he's going to mount to anything, for my high-end velo guy, and we'll see who's, you know, happy in 3 years. But it's fun with Washington. So, yeah. Anyway, who are your next three? Then we can dive into all these.
Yeah, games. Next three, I decided to break a rule last year, and I regretted it. So I had Yandy Morales. I had Robert Hassel. And those guys just, they did okay. Hassel has definitely done a lot better than okay in spring. But my third one is where I broke my rule. I put on there Victor Hurtado. Their 2024 IFA guy. And he was, let's just say he didn't pull a Jesus Mate. He had a rough year in the Dominican, and he's still 17 when the season starts. He's 17 until late May, no less. So, I mean, this is a very, very young kid, and it's silly to get crazy about, oh my gosh, he hit 218 his first exposure in pro ball. Mm-hmm. But do I wish I would have picked somebody different? Because, you know, last year I was having some inkling on Sakura, and I was like, I wonder if I should throw him on there, and I didn't. And so, you know, I do regret that I don't have that name to, you know, put a feather in my cap there. And instead I broke my rule, and look what it did for me.
this don't be year, so hard on yourself. It's okay.
I'm just saying. This year, I have Clemmy on mine. I have Brady House, and I have Yandy Morales back on there again, because I just can't quit that talent. He is a really fun hitter to watch in the box. He's had some significant injury stuff since he was drafted, and B, it's just, he is such a tweener in so many ways. He was a guy who you weren't really sure if he was going to play third or first base.
Okay.
You're not sure if he is going to go all in and become a 310 hitter with 40 doubles, or if he's going to be a 260 hitter with 30 home runs. And it's just that type of a guy. He's got the ability really to kind of do both. He just hasn't clicked the way you were kind of hoping that it would. But you know, I'm excited to see what he does this year. This is a guy who, you know, still has the frame, University of Miami background. Yeah, I'm excited to watch him play this year. So, guys that we didn't have on the list, Robbie, who do you have?
The guy that was really popular a few years back that has slowly worked his way away from the list, Andre Lara, pitcher. Yeah. He was a popular J2 guy. And I got to say, he's fine. Like, he, even just a generic look at his line last year, 11 and 11, sounds, you know, odd, but that's 11 wins, 11 losses, which you can look at it that way, or you can look at 25 starts, which is the better way to look at it. He had a complete game within that, 134 and two-third innings, 132 Ks, not blown anybody away. But ERA, he's managed well. He was really good in a brief amount of time repeating A-ball, which I would like to go back to that old trope of he got promoted and struggled, and then the next year goes back and dominates. So he had a full season in high A in 23, and it was very ho-hum, 23 starts. 98 and a third innings, 66 strikeouts, and everybody walked away at that point in time. But last year, he rebounded nicely, started at high A again, six starts, managed 30 innings in that period of time, 39 strikeouts. So, okay, you're better than this level right now, although you are 21, so you're moving up to A ball, and he played the rest of the year at that. And he had a 3.63 ERA. I'm going to call that excellent in-game management for himself, 1.19 whip, again, excellent. Gave up, you know, 7.7 hits per nine, not the best. K to nine was eight, so that's on the lower end. But again, look what he did the year before, and then look how he started again. So I believe that he has enough, like on the year he was 8.8 K to nine, but just counting the double A time, eight per. I think he's going to come back and be a quiet guy. Now, he's owned in all the dynasty leagues, but he's not popular anymore. So I think he's potentially a player to acquire. The other guy on the arm side that I wanted to bring up is Hunil Choi, who was once a Dodger prospect, and he's now kicked around long enough that I feel like this is I'm trying to check here. I guess it looks like he started. He started in 19. So I don't know how they'll do that for free agent availability, but he should be a free agent after this year, unless he signed with Washington as a free agent this year, because he's been with the Dodgers and reached AAA last year, but none of it's been sparkling since 21 with him. But he's still, you know, moving up, and he could be organizational depth. And you never know when a guy gets on a heater. Like, I don't know. I just find him to be interesting. And at the higher end, Cade Cavalli, I guess we should mention that.
Rule 5 draft. Triple A phase.
Oh, that's where he was. Okay, thank you. Okay, so
that's how they got him. So he was already a Rule 5 guy. So they got him. They didn't protect him even from Triple A. The Dodgers didn't, which says a lot for you.
Yeah, that they were okay to have. I mean, but it's the Dodgers. So
yeah,
they had a lot. But on other end of prospects, it's officially over for Jackson Rutledge, right? Cade Cavalli is one of the other guys.
Yeah,
but he's going to be 27 at some point this year. So, I mean, you push him in or you got to kind of move him to the side. And then I did want to mention a catcher. Oh, God. Caleb Lombada, who we did talk about before, I think during the draft stuff. And feel like lots you had said it was either. Yeah, it was him or Moore that you were talking about the potential of him going to the Blue Jays. So
it was Loma Vida that. Yeah, he was.
Was it Loma Vida? Okay.
Yeah, so he was a guy Hawaiian. Everyone kind of thought that was a definite Blue Jay if he was there. And then
they went with pitcher Treya Savage. So he ended up going 39th in last year's draft. And he went to A-ball and finished out the year. You know, what do you want to say? He didn't light it on fire, but he was fine with the OBP, held his own in that sense. But the rest of it wasn't ideal. 3 stolen bases and 5 attempts. So I'm interested to see what he can do this year. Now, they've got Ruiz, they've got a long-term guy. They got Riley Adams, who's just going to kick around. But maybe there's something with this guy, and I would like to see what it could potentially be, because he was interesting enough with his time in college to be a well over 300 hitter with lots of power that I would like to see what that could turn into. And I know it's a catcher, but that's kind of where I'm sitting, because any team would be willing to trade a guy like Ruiz with good control and 3 or 4 years left, if you've got the next guy ready, who's going to make
exactly
$1 million. Right.
Yep.
So those are my extra Washington boys.
Lara, one of the things I noticed this year, I had written down a couple of times with him that he needed to eat a cheeseburger. And 6'4", and he was 165 pounds. And you're like, what the heck? He is a solid 185-ish. I mean, I don't know that I would say he's a 200 plus pound guy yet. He's still very lean, but he has definitely put some muscle onto that frame at this point. And that is, it absolutely showed. I mean, you're talking about a guy who went out and pitched 134 innings last year. And there's a reason. Mm-hmm. It's because his body can now handle that. So then what's the next step? It's kind of, well, he's got three usable starting level pitches. Now he needs either A, that fourth pitch, or he needs to turn his attention into the bullpen. But he is on the 40 man already. That's a big thing to also consider, is they put him on the 40 man, which means he might jump ahead of someone like Sakura.
Yep.
If they need someone, because I think Susanna is also on the 40 man, but
I don't know if he is. I know Robert Hassel and I think Laura, maybe Susanna, all got added around the same time.
So Hassel is just a guy, you know, we mentioned him a little bit. He took a big step forward, really did well in the AFL, and he kept up the AFL stuff in the spring this year. I'd love to see him become the guy that makes the Nationals question whether they love Jacob Young's defense that much. Because, you know, you can put Cruz in center and he's not going to win a gold glove, but he's going to be a very solid center fielder. And you put Hassel in left, you put Wood in right, or vice versa, and that's a very solid defensive outfield. But you might have a whole lot more offensive upside if Hassel has finally kind of found what we've all been waiting for from him since he was a top 10 overall pick. Caden Wallace, they got in the Hunter Harvey trade with the Royals. Huge raw power. One of the things with House we were talking about, House has never really had that much competition at third base to worry about on his way up. I mean, yeah, Carter Kaboom was there, but by then he was already on the downside of things. But now you've got Jose Tena in the major league level. You've got Caden Wallace now pushing him from, and I think we're going to get into another guy here in just a little bit, but there's going to be some guys that are going to make Brady House say, hey, I gotta put light a fire under my butt and get myself up to the majors and show I can do it. Or somebody else is going to take that spot. Philip Glasser is a guy that they got in the 10th round in 23 out of Indiana. I was really impressed watching tape on him. This is a guy who can play anything but first base last year and played two of the three outfield spots. So very certainly a good utility guy. Gap hitter, probably not going to get you more than 10 home runs. Above average speed, but not a holy crap burner, but really good plate judgment. So someone that could probably find his way into a consistent bench role. Dalen Lyle, outfielder.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
21, second rounder out of high school in Kentucky. He finally was fully healthy, and he showed what the speed can do. Not enough probably oomph to the bat to be a starter. But this is kind of, you know, we've talked about this a couple times recently. This is kind of your ideal fourth outfielder profile. Can play all three outfield spots, give you a little speed off the bench. You know, I had King on here. We're into their 24 draft, which they did really well, in my opinion, on getting hitters. We talked about King and Loma Vida already. Luke Dickerson was their second rounder, New Jersey high schooler. Hey, hockey player in high school. Won a state championship in hockey, and then played baseball. Well,
allow me to interject with some real-life recent news. Not only this is college-related, so University of Waterloo, where I work, their women's program last year came in third in the national championships out west somewhere, and this year they hosted. We ended up doing all the food for the athletes, the volunteers, everything. So last week was insane for me.
Now we know why Adarsh isn't here. He's probably
sleeping. Adarsh is sleeping. No, he's actually working a function right now. He should be home. But yeah, it was a busy week last week. And the women's team got in this year. They were ranked 8th. And there was a lot of controversy, as you'll know, Ben, with how college rankings go and things like that. And they said, oh, they lost to, you know, U of T and da-da-da. Shouldn't have been a big deal, which is the University of Toronto. But, you know, good games, whatever, whatever. Anyway, they started off their elimination by eliminating the top ranked team. And then I believe it was the second or third ranked team they knocked off and made it to the finals, where they did lose, but they had a very competitive, awesome, fun run for the women's hockey team. And yeah, they have, I think in 2 years, they will have had two very highly sought after women hockey players who will now, I believe, both be ideally next year playing in the women's hockey league, women's national hockey league. So,
yeah, that's
and in my, cool. in my men's league last night, beer league, six goals. I scored six goals last night. So
now, is
back
that
before, to baseball.
Is that before or after the opposing goalie drank his share of the beer?
He was in net the whole time. I don't know how much he drank, but I know I celebrated with a few after. And then one of the guys on the other team, because I banged a rebound in, which we don't always go after the rebounds in tight to the goalie because we all know we have to work the next day. I scored one and the goalie got pissed. It was my second goal. And I skated by their bench. I'm like, well, it's been fun playing with you guys. I don't think I'll be back next year. And they all just laughed because the goalie's kind of a hothead. But then he did not have a good night. Obviously, I scored six goals on him. So anyway, Ben, sorry about that. Oh, I just,
no,
nobody else cares, right? So the listeners, you get it.
I don't know. Dickerson is that guy that I was talking about that could push from the underside a little more on house at third base. Shortstop right now, I think he's eventually going to work his way to either third or second. But this is a guy who, if he's a second baseman, we're talking like this is a Jeff Kent profile. Like big average, big power. Like I said, I think the offensive profile works just fine at third base. Then the last one, they got, you know, they got Lomavita with their second pick in the first round, and they went out and they got another catcher in the third round, Kevin Bazell, and he is kind of a perfect backup profile for a catcher. Doubles power, high contact, really good hands behind the plate. I said it just kind of has that perfect backup catcher profile. You almost wonder if they aren't going to work those two guys together a little bit. And
maybe
see that as a, you know, because he has played a little bit of outfield too, or a third base or something. He wasn't a pure catcher all of his college years. And so he could be a type of guy that they work up the system with Lomavita. And eventually, once it becomes clear that they're ready to have that duo come up, they find a new spot to ship off Ruiz.
Right. I love that we're trading Ruiz. That's so fun for us.
Poor guy.
And here's the move, baby. We're going to trade.
We're going to trade a catcher. Yeah. So our center on our Nationals basketball team is Tyler Stewart. They acquired him from the Mets last year, had a really good year in A-ball, got up to double, had a little bit of stuff. He's 6'9", has a really funky arm angle, and it makes, but he also has above average to even maybe plus control. So 6'9" with plus control is ridiculously fun.
And it's like I said, be in the box again.
It's coming from a weird angle, but none of his pitches are really plus as a starter. I kind of wonder if they might throw him into the bullpen, let a couple pitches play up, and then, or, you know, and be an exceptional long reliever, or even, you know, if they play up enough, he could be a back end type of reliever. Then finally, a guy. Oh, actually, I got two more. Brad Lord was an
ETC. Yes. He was kind of a big name. Why did I not even mention him?
Yeah.
I've been picking him up in dynasty leagues.
And coming into 24 and throughout the year, he was really kind of a big hype guy. Stuff is kind of shown to be a relief guy. He's kind of got 260 pitches and 240 pitches. Mm-hmm. And so, and then this spring, the Nationals have pitched him purely out of the bullpen and very intentionally in one inning roles. And it sounds like they might be looking to potentially do that in his assignment, is send him off. Either he makes the team as a reliever or he goes to AAA and learns to be a reliever, which, unfortunately for him, that could be in large part due to the amount of stinking starting depth that they have, that having two viable pitches that still need a lot of work to become a starter with your other pitches might mean that you get bumped into the bullpen, because that's just it's what happens. Unfortunately, my last but not least, Liam Sullivan, left-handed pitcher out of they got it in the 13th round in the 23 draft out of the University of Georgia, and this is a big old boy, 6'6", 250. Got hit around a bit in college and was not fully healthy for a lot of college. I have down here number four starter upside, but a lot of it has to do with he's got to stay healthy. He has just not been healthy through college and into his pro career. But this is a guy, you watch him, he has got he's got one of those really fun left-handed curveballs that look like it's just going to loop and stay, you know, in the middle of the zone, and then somehow it ends up bouncing off the back end of the plate. I mean, it just drops off the face of the earth, type of a 12-6 curver, and which always looks so pretty coming from a left-hander. I don't know what it is that's different right to left-handed that makes that curve look so much better coming out of a lefty's hand.
If you throw right-handed, a lefty's throw looks neat, just like... You know, I'm a lefty in hockey, so I find right-handers to be fascinating because I don't do the golfer, lefty, righty, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all, if you're on the opposite side, it just looks, you know, grass is greener scenario.
This is true. So last year, Sullivan only got into two games, 9 1/3 innings pitch, but 17 strikeouts in those innings. So there's some legit stuff here if he can just get on the field. So anyway, that's all of my guys. I don't know if there's anybody that popped into your brain that you hadn't mentioned yet, but
I am just having a final look. Cause after you said Lord, I was like, man, how did I not even put him on my watch list? Because he was a late round pickup for me in a league this year. And I almost drafted him in another. So I'm just making sure on my own fantasy rosters, I can pretend hype guys up here for trade value later. I've not seen any more Nationals. I've got so much Clemmy everywhere. It's great just to see that. That needs to work out or I'm going to be in trouble.
Another guy who's interesting is Jake Bennett.
Okay.
Lefty that's probably a back end sort of starter, but plus changeup from a lefty and actually has a viable fastball that's kind of a low to mid 90s fastball that could work with it. So there's always, you know, and he's a 6'6" lefty. So, you know,
obviously it's got to be huge.
I mean, he's in the Nationals. So, I mean, he's got to be, you know, 6'8", 6'6", 6'. I mean, because what is Rutledge is 6'8"? Yep.
Yeah, he's huge. Say. Yeah.
So, I mean, this team has just got an affinity for some reason for that 6'4" plus pitcher. So if you're if you're looking to make a deal at the deadline and you happen to have a 6'6" pitcher, the Nationals are going to be interested. But I don't know that this is the year that they push through, but acquiring a guy like Nate Lowe to kind of be involved or in the middle of that lineup with, you know, the CJ Abrams and Luis Garcia and, you got Ruiz, you've got that outfield of Young and Wood and Cruz. This could be a really fun team this year. They might make a lot of really dumb young kid type of mistakes on the field, but when they click at that young raw talent, that could be a really fun team to watch. I am not looking forward to the fact that the Braves play them in division, because they're going to see those guys a lot this year.
Well, the one saving grace is that everyone is pretty low on the Nationals pitching at the major league level. Now, we've talked an awful lot about their minor league.
This is true.
But, I mean, just looking at Gore could have an up year. Trevor Williams is the definition of he is what he is. Jake Irvin was pretty good with quality starts last year. Mitchell Parker was fine. And Michael Socorro, we don't know exactly what we're going to get. Are we getting the bullpen guy from the White Sox in starter form, or are we just getting a continuation of the starter struggles that he had last year? And if that is the case, well, then what do they have? And that bullpen is going to be fine because bullpens can always make it work if the guys are
depth and options.
Yeah, which is a lot to their advantage that
they can throw in there.
I would love to see Washington start well and then maintain like a 500. They don't need to be five games above and then have a 10 game losing streak. That sucks. But I think that they could potentially have a really good clubhouse because the mix of players is very good. And you've got like Alex Call. I know I bring him up a lot as a legit guy who understands what his role is. Ahmed Rosario will understand what his role is. Riley Adams understands what his role is, which should allow Abrams, Cruz, Bell, Lowe, DeYoung, like all the guys to max themselves out. And they're not going to be worried that if they go, you know, have a bad weekend series, they lost their job, right? Like they know that the guys that are on the bench are there to support and fill in to try to win games, not to battle them for playing time. So yeah. I think that's a good thing for the team to have. So the Nationals are fun. Yeah. Well, that's it, Ben. That's big three, next three. We're done.
That's it for the year. Yeah. So now next week, we get to talk about actual baseball being played. It's going to be fun. I mean,
where the prospects are going.
Yep. That's what we're going to talk about next week is where your top prospects started the year. But we're going to actually have some gameplay done by that point. We're going to have some AAA ball games to talk about. We're going to have some of that upper minors ball that's already been played that we can actually discuss a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it feels good to have that problem.
You know? Yeah, I'm looking forward to the fun of it all. I know Govier was talking about drafts going down, final drafts, things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I finished my last draft on the weekend. We had in-person draft. It was the one that I accidentally went to a week early.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's okay. Went to it, had a blast, and we got a new player that joined the league. Right before the draft, I was sitting beside a guy who said, yeah, like I'm done once we find a replacement. And I was like, oh, so you're just drafting? He's like, yeah, I'm just going to draft whoever is the like highest ranked guy at the position I see I need. And we'll just see how that goes. And then our commissioner was like, I don't know, like that's not ideal. Maybe we'll just kind of work together to try to give you the best team. So whoever comes in to take it will be interested. And I said, do you want me to contact Roto Ronnie? I'll see if I can get the, you know, internet baseball troll that is Roto Ronnie. And I messaged him and he said, okay, sure, I'm in. And then he texted and we got him into the league so he could see as the draft was going, the players and everything. Worked out great. Can't wait to have him at next year's in-person draft. It'll be, because I'm going to win the league. It'll be wherever I choose. It could be in this basement. They could be behind those gates right there next year. But it is exciting. It's a fun time of the year. Hope is in the air.
Robbie, somebody asked, after watching for the first time, they asked who you keep back there. Not what you keep back there, but who I keep back there, which I thought, you know, after looking at, yeah, okay, I can see where maybe that's a storage of a person or something. I mean,
when we get to 2,000 subscribers, I'll give a tour.
Right on. So yeah, I just finished my last slow draft today. And I was very happy. I ended up with, it was an FYPD and had, Cam Smith fall to me with the fourth pick, which I was very pleased
nice.
With.
Yeah.
And then coming back around because there were some pretty solid major leaguers available. I got Braden Montgomery with the second pick.
Okay. Yeah. Solid.
And then, I'm not remembering off the top of my head who my other, but I got my fourth and fifth round picks were Alan Roden and then George Lombard Jr. So I'm really, really, really pleased with how I came out of this particular draft.
Did Roden make the Jays?
They just announced that.
Okay.
So, in fact, I have an article that I'm going to be putting up here later tonight for IBWAA who are on 10 guys who are starting the season in the majors that you are prospects and that you should really kind of get to know. Now, obviously you've got your Cruz and your Sasaki that a lot of people know, but you know, Alan Roden is one of them and Drake Baldwin is another. And then I just put on there a bonus of Cam Smith because it's not been officially announced yet, but it's really trending that direction, which
Matt Shaw, there's guys every year. There's fun guys. So,
yep. I have Matt Shaw in this. I have Christian Campbell, cause that was announced today that Christian Campbell made the roster.
But David Hamilton, right? Anyone but David Hamilton in Boston.
That seems to be kind of their...
likes a guy. They get screwed. Trey Cabbage last year, no playing time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I have Leiter and Rocker in there, and obviously Jason Dominguez, because I think a lot of folks have probably heard that name but don't really understand who the player is. So just to, you know, I just said I was going to grab 10. There's more, and that's just the really fun thing is in the next, like, 48 hours, we're going to hear all sorts of guys that we weren't expecting. And
all the good stories, right? All the good stories about how the guys made the rosters. Leiter, like, just who from our Palazzo group chat, I got excited about Leiter. I ended up taking him in the home league, so I got my share of Leiter. And when I did, Ty, who I did the podcast, was like, about 8 rounds too early. And then somebody else was like, he was my next pick. So I always love when that happens.
Do you know the name J.C. Escara?
No.
He is a Yankee, which, you know.
I don't like him already.
I get it. But a catcher, no less. So you really don't like him.
Oh,
but a 29-year-old catcher.
Oh, geez. Did he make the roster?
He made the roster.
Oh,
and
my goodness. That's
he
cool.
He called his mom, and that's kind of gone a little bit viral. Like, his mom is, like, screaming on the phone. She is so excited for him. He's bawling, telling her, you know, that's real. And you love that sort of stuff. This is the time of year for that, folks. This is the time of year.
Indie ball last year for us.
Yeah.
That's great.
This is awesome. This is the type of thing
you want to
see. Once
drafted by Baltimore in the 15th round in 2017. Yeah, good for him. Never give up, right?
And that's just, like, this is the time of year I love. Folks have talked about how, you know, the videos end up becoming a kind of a stage thing, and they're not happy. Give me all of them. Give me all of them, because that's about as real as it gets in this league. Watching a 22-year-old kid find out that he made the major league roster, or even better, like you said, a 29-year-old guy who's gone through multiple organizations, indie ball, all that to keep his dream alive, and now is making it, and he gets to call his mom. That's amazing. Like I said, give me all those videos. I don't care how annoyed you might be about them populating your timeline. Those are cool. Those are fun. Well,
Ben, we will have to end it because I'm sure Govey is going to say we went too long. So this was Big Three Next Three for 2024 off season to 2025. And we're excited next week to talk about where everybody went and all the stories of everybody calling their moms and dads and everybody else.
Yeah.
Ben, I thank you. I have enjoyed doing this with you for 2 years. And I can't wait to do in season number two. Which we'll fire up next week. So
great.
We'll see y'all then. Love, peace, hair grease, 2 L's, 2 Z's.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.